me a problem. I am not the problem. I have never left my country, nor have I ceded any part of it.
Let's Talk. Triple A's flagship program that continues to elevate the diverse voices of First Nations people across the country. Centered around the unceded sovereignty of First Nations people in this country, honouring the history with a solutions-based focus on the future. With your host, Pomeroy journalist, Danny Tierce Johnson.
Yama, hello and welcome to Let's Talk. My name is Danny Tierce Johnson, Gomeroi journalist from Moree in New South Wales. I'd like to start the show by acknowledging country, acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands that we broadcast from, the Kabi Kabi people, as we broadcast from the AATSA Summit 2022 here on the Sunshine Coast. And I'd like to pay my respects to their elders past and present, and I extend that greeting all the way up to Murra Island today, to where my guest comes from, Caleb Mabo. How are you, brother, on Mabo Day 2022?
To be there, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good, brother, good. I'm from the AATSA Summit, and there's been a lot of excitement this week. It's been it's always an amazing week as we lead into Mabo Day. How are you feeling about the day, brother?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. It's been quite a good week up here with a lot of cultural activities happening, and yeah, it's just here at the moment.
Can you tell us about last time I had you on the show? UMOB were heading up to sort of clean up that area up there and doing a number of things around your grandfather's sort of legacy up there. Can you explain again what you've been up to and you know, some of the tasks the local mob have been doing to get all these cultural activities going?
Yeah, so for myself, I've been around the back side of the island, really getting rid of quite a lot of vegetation, a lot of invasive species swimming out. You're just cleaning up the land quite a lot. Cleaning inside where Granddad's ways down in there, and yeah, just replacing some of the tiles. Yeah, getting cleaning up the garden around his site there. A bit, and then all while this is going on, helping families. So we built a traditional roundhouse here. We call it a akurumeta.
Oh wow!
And so yeah, so we've constructed one of those for the day.
And what does that do, brother? What does that signify?
It's just, I guess, for us as for the eardrum left, but for us that's yeah, just maintain that connection.
Yeah.
Appreciate this, so I found that knowledge of the old ways, and it's still continuing today. And I just had a moment there where I was just like, wow, this is like this is something special, and I'm so grateful that I'm being able to be a part of this.
Yeah, yeah. I always pinch myself whenever I talk to you or Annie Gay or Mabo. I get goosebumps because it's so close to Quirky and, you know, his history and his legacy, and you feel that, and especially at this time, you know, it's must be amazing feeling being the grandson, brother, and honouring that legacy. You know, like one thing that, you know, there's always a bit of a responsibility on us as blackfellas, you know, to go out and honour that legacy, but sometimes that's very hard to do. But you're doing it, and I just find that completely inspiring, brother.
Yeah, it is. I guess for me, it took a while for myself to fully grasp my responsibility to place within the Marble family.
Yep.
And I guess Mum was just marking time until I then came to her and said, "Oh, yep, I understand now, and I'm ready to start taking on these responsibilities, because in Meriam culture, it's a patriarchal system, so a lot of responsibilities fall on the male lineage. And yeah, so I guess for me, it was a bit of an eye opener when I first come up and started to learn all these things, and then as soon as a bug bit me, that's it. Like, and I had thoughts, just gone all the
time. Yeah, no, it's pretty amazing what you do, and keeping that, you know, legacy alive, because I only found this out a few days ago, my brother, and that was like Quirky never actually saw the decision get handed down. He never witnessed, the fruits of his labour from all that work, you know, and that hit me in the heart when I heard that. And I was like, this poor man never got to see his success, the fruits of his labour, as I said. But your grandkids now, and these are all coming through and sort of making sure that the fruits of that labour is not going to waste, huh?
Yeah, definitely. That's it is quite upsetting when you think about it. Like, he basically spent 15 years of his life fighting for that decision, and say 6 months before the decision was handed down, he passed. Like, that's just, yeah, it's just upsetting, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
But I guess now that's where, like, I come into the picture now, and it's my responsibility to take that next step, the next actions of, like, yes, okay, we have native title, but this native title came with strings attached.
Yes.
It came still attached to the Commonwealth government, where we've been given recognition under Commonwealth Constitution, but Commonwealth hasn't recognised that there's the Constitution sitting here on there, and it has been here since time immemorial, you know? Like, we still sit here and still practice today the same laws. We practice two laws here on there. We practice the Australian law, and we also practice Mullaragilla, the Mullah's law. So it's quite unique that, in a sense, where they still somewhat so attached to the ancestral ways.
Yeah, that's really interesting you say that too, because I actually had Elverina Johnson on the show recently. She's from Yarrabah.
I know Elverina.
Artist, community leader, entrepreneur, bit of a legend in my books.
She's a nice lady.
Yeah, and she was talking about that before 1788. We all had our own constitutions. We all had our own ways of life and being, and we forget that when we talk about the voice of Parliament and constitutional reform, we forget that we've got our own constitutions and our own way of life. As you've said.
I just find that really interesting, brother.
I understand the push to get a voice in Parliament and somewhat supportive of that. However, I think for us as Indigenous Australians, we need to say, okay, well, if we put a voice inside this system was already designed to be for us not to succeed. So what's going to putting a voice in there, how is that going to change the system? We just need to sit down and have a hard conversation and get people to the table and talk about this kind of stuff. Like, you know what I mean?
So, Yeah, I'm actually looking. The Uluru Statement from the heart is actually sitting right across the table from me, and there's been a lot of discussions at this summit around the voice, and and what the next few years look like for us as Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, with a possible referendum coming. And I was just wondering how you feel about that, brother, and you know, when we think about native title and we think about, you know, Mabo and Wick, and we think about treaties and this sort of thing, and as a younger person thinking about the future, sort of where are you at with it all, brother?
Well, for me, like sitting here on Murray Island right now...
I'm so jealous, by the way.
I think, okay, we have 92, we got native title. In 2012, a docket was signed, the deed of grant and trust, which basically was a backward step from native title.
Yep.
And it's like, well, why are we taking these backward steps when we should be looking forward and moving forward instead of going back to, like, that was 10 years of Koikeata's life that just wasted when we go back and do things like that. You know, that's such a meaningful thing to do, that to go backwards and do stuff like that.
Yeah, no, it's...
I guess there's a lot of talk here on my island, like, throughout the week this week we've had sessions with the men's groups and women's groups and discussing what they want to see post-Mabo and, like, happened since the 92 decision between then and now, what has worked, what hasn't worked, and what we are aspiring to in the near future for ourselves. And there's quite a lot of discussion around autonomy and gaining that sovereignty, and yeah, I guess it's just getting some kind of power back to the community in making decisions for ourselves.
Wow. That sounds so powerful. I'm very jealous that I'm not up there and taking in some of those discussions in that country and culture up there. Are you allowed to tell us a little bit about some of the discussions? It's just so fascinating that we're hearing this, Caleb.
There will be a statement released from Murray Island.
Mm-hmm.
From all of these discussions that everyone's having and where we would like to go and what we as a nation want for our people. I can't really talk too much on
that. No, you've got to go culture way first and do all that.
I don't want to mention anything that may not be in the statement. You know
yeah.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally, brother. Yeah. Hey,
we've got quite a lot of visitors come in throughout the week, which is really awesome. Patty Mills got in here yesterday, so I was just sitting down having a yarn to him about all the projects that I've been doing and about possibly getting him in to have a chat about getting this day recognized as a national public holiday. So
yeah, I was going to ask you about the public holiday, but just firstly, Bala Pat, it's great to see a fellow from community up there use his platform and an international stage to help, bring light to Torres Strait Islander issues and particularly climate change up there. To see him on the ESPN on American Basketball doing Torres Strait traditional dance, sharing culture with the US of A, I just think that's a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is beautiful, and it's such it says a lot about him when he's made the effort to come back and be here with us for this week. Like, I guess for me as a Mabo grandchild, I just, like, yeah, like, I can't thank him enough for being back here and the things that he does for us. So, yeah, no, it's really cool.
Yeah, no, I actually met him up there a few years ago when he came back, when he was playing for the Spurs, and he won the NBA championship.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, how cool is this? He's come back to the Torres Strait, and he's just taking the trophy around and just showing everybody, and I just thought that was pretty amazing, you know? let's talk about the public holiday, brother.
Yep.
I know last time I had you on the show, we were talking about trying to, I guess, advocate for a public holiday, a national or a Queensland public holiday.
Yes.
Where are we at with that? And can you give us a bit of an update, brother?
Well, I guess from our interview and that, that small yarn we had about it, it took off quite a lot, and quite a few other papers and stuff have reached out. I've done a few interviews with them around it, surrounding that idea of this. So in consultation with the National Native Title Council, we've been working to get a petition together to write to government to consider this day as a national public holiday for Indigenous peoples. So, yeah, I guess that's where we're at the moment. Just trying to get all of this information together to get to ANTA. I'm not too sure exactly what their acronym stands for, but yeah, they're a First Nations group that advocate for and write petitions and stuff like this. So I guess, yeah, we're just starting to work with them around it as well.
Yeah, and I think, you know, even further than that, talking to, you know, your Linda Burneys, your Malandiris, your Pat Dodsons, while they're in power is maybe something we can look at too. But it's great to hear that, you know, because you come to us, Let's Talk at Murray Radio a while ago, and you had a chat about this public holiday, that other media's picked it up, and hopefully we can get a bit of traction on this for you, Mob, you know, because we need a public holiday, us Blackfellas, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, exactly, like, we haven't got one, and I guess it's, there's a lot of talk about, around closing the gap and building this relationship between Indigenous and Indigenous Australia. I guess this is a first step, would be the first step, and saying, okay, we acknowledge you as a people, and we want this day to celebrate who you are and what your culture is and how long you've been here, and we understand that you were the people here.
Yep.
So that's where that kind of day would. It's a lot of the really good stuff, you know? And I guess a day like this would ideally bring people together. And it's a day where one person recognizes the other, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm just looking across the table in this exhibition centre that I'm at now, and it says on the poster over there, make healing happen. And through a public holiday where we get to, you know, celebrate our culture and our survival, would be a day of healing, I think, brother.
Yeah, definitely. And it's a day where people can talk about their history.
Yeah, true.
Not so much the hierarchical decision, but yeah, like First Nations people across Australia should say, oh, this is who we are, this is what we were, you know, this is what we did, this is how we conducted ourselves, this is what we used to do. These are this kind of stuff, you know, it's like a history lesson, as well as a day of celebration. This is how
I heard, you know, not sure if you can talk about this, but I heard there was a bit of a kerfuffle in Townsville, and Gail wasn't supported through the Townsville sort of council up there to, you know, it's quite a milestone anniversary. This is the 30th anniversary of Mabo Day,
And I was up in Townsville for the 25th, and it was a great day, a great concert, just a beautiful day of sharing and culture and knowledge. And unfortunately, that's not going ahead this year.
No, there's...
Which, to me, says a lot about what's going up in Townsville.
Yes, I guess there's... I guess there's a bit of disrespect there in a way of not with the support not actually coming to her.
Yeah.
In a way. And which is really sad considering how it's a milestone again, you know?
Yep.
Like
No, I just wanted to call this out a bit because I only heard this story the other day, actually being here at the summit, and I'm pretty close to Gail. I've spoken to her a lot over the years and done a lot of interviews, and to see sort of Townsville Council turn their back on the Mabo family and Quirky's legacy, like this is 30 years of Mabo Day. This is one of the most significant dates for black people in this country, and for the Townsville Council to turn around and not get involved and be enthusiastic in helping Gail to celebrate this day, because it's actually not that expensive for them. I just think it's really disrespectful, and, you know, it just goes to show how much work needs to be done up in Townsville and that area.
Exactly.
And, I just want to call that out. If anyone up there working for Townsville Council, probably should be ashamed of yourselves a bit from what you've done to Gail and the family and the disrespect you've showed.
And I think there's, even through the project that I've been doing, you reach out to a lot of people, and it's just really not a response. And I guess that's where I feel like this public holiday would help bring knowledge to who he was, what he did, and why it is so significant for this country.
Yes.
Because people should be jumping at the opportunity to support this, to support things like this. Yeah, I've been struggling this whole time to get just $5,000 to get up here, you know what I mean? To get that just that small amount of funds just. And we are making that thing stretch, you know, it's like, wow, there's so much to do still, because we should be the ones being you're a contact, and that's all amazing things you've got.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
There should be a line there.
Yeah, it's really disappointing, you know, there's not much support up there, and I've just sort of felt that the last couple of days, and I've heard a few yarns, so I just wanted to bring that up and just paint a picture for our audiences out there, black, white and brindle, that even though this is one of the most celebrated black men in our history, and this is one of the most significant dates and in terms of the overturning of the Terra Nullius decision, and, you know, you just can't even get support up there for something so huge in all of Australian history, you know, so, yeah, I just want to call that out, brother.
Yeah, no worries.
Obviously there's going to be celebrations up in Cairns, and you've got other activities around the country as well. And no matter what support you do or don't get, we're going to make sure we get behind you, and all the black fellas will, and really support this day.
Yeah, exactly. We'll all be enjoy the day either way. It's disappointing as some of the things are. They'll all disappear on the day, and be anger will be overtaken with happiness and joy. And we'll just really just enjoy the day, you know, celebrating our culture.
Yeah.
And the decision of Marvel.
You know, this is the 30th this year. It's pretty, you know, 3 decades since the decision. And obviously, I talked about the future on the show too, brother, and what our black future looks like.
I'm pretty into futurism and, you know, what you mob up there, the discussions you're having and that you're shaping. You know, what's the future look like for you guys in the next 5 or 10? You know, we've won a public holiday. The Torres Strait's got huge issues around climate change. Also huge, huge issues around mob not being able to set up their businesses properly up there. You know, I've been talking to lobster farmers. You know, all these traditional, you know, economies that could be having up there are getting colonised by non-Indigenous peoples, you know. So really interested in the Torres Strait on a number of fronts and what the future looks like for you mob up there.
Yeah, it's, I guess around these discussions here we're having now, there is that look to the future of gaining some more, gaining our autonomy and, I guess, possibly sitting down with government and having that discussion around sovereignty and just looking at things like this, because, you know, the fishing industry up here, it's not only a way of life, a way of living, to make money for people, but that's how people live here. That's our grocery store. And to have licenses written and handed out, and then those people with the licenses now can go anywhere in the Torres Strait. There's no respect for traditional boundaries. Like, a lot of people still, we only fish inside our traditional boundaries, our sea boundaries, and we take from our own areas. Yet when these licenses come out, they override those traditional boundaries and people can go anywhere. And it's like, well, no, hang on a minute. That's, you're taking food out of other people's mouths. You're taking more than what should be taken from that area.
Now, it's all very sustainable. And with climate change, brother, you know, I know Saibai gets huge trouble when it has king tides, things like that. So has climate change been at the forefront of discussions?
Yes, a little bit. It's just, for my island, we aren't as worse off as the others, but we still are seeing the effects of the climate change. I stand at the back and on the edge of the beach, and where I'm standing, the beach was 20 meters further out.
Wow.
And that's just like, that's taking away our ancestral land by, like, from the sea. Like, it's just hammering it.
Yeah.
You know? And it just makes me feel for the low-lying community throughout the Torres Strait, and where they don't have any high ground and they're just at the mercy of the sea.
Because that comes with a whole lot of challenges. I mean, you know, our dead are buried, and, you know, climate change affects that because the tides come over, and, you know, it's just so complex and so challenging. And I guess now, as we look to the future for Mabo Day, you know, sort of at the 40th year, you know, the 40th and the 50th year are the next big ones coming up, you know, and hopefully we see a whole lot of change by then, brother.
Yeah, hopefully. I guess it's a movement here to start wanting to make a change, and there's people are starting to get fed up with treatment and not being able to have to make decisions for ourselves on what's best for us in this way.
Yeah, and I guess
so. I guess there's that big movement there.
And I guess, you know, we don't want to be having these same conversations in 10 years or 20 years, do we, brother? I mean, we want to start making the change now, right? And something that I've heard at this sort of AATSIS summit gathering, because there's, you know, 1,000 people from all over the country, and a common theme is, like, the change. We're sick of the same yarns from 30 years ago we're still having today because nothing's changed. You know, and it's time to, burn it down and rip it up and start again, I think. But, Caleb, I'm going to start wrapping it up, but I just want to say, thank you to you and your family for the work that you do, especially your younger mob, taking, you know, up the fight to educate Australia and, you know, mainstream Australia on the importance of Mabo Day, but also just on the importance of, you know, our stories and, you know, our truth-telling, because what you're doing up there and the discussions you're having now will change it all for the young mob up there, brother, that's for sure.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
No, well, we hope you have a great day and, you know, everything's received beautifully up there, and Arnie Gale supported up in Cairns and around the country. Wherever we are having Mabo events, I hope everyone has a magic day, especially you Torres Strait Islander mob.
Yes, and if you'd like to see any photos and videos of what's happening up here, I've been uploading a few on the Mabo Day 2022 Dr. Koji Mabo Facebook page.
Oh, cool. So we can jump on the Facebook page. We can check out what you're doing up there. You can see all your weeding expertise. No Jim's mowing up there, brother?
Nothing. And I guess I'm still sharing around that GoFundMe page to kind of just keep the momentum going.
Yeah, can you drop those details? Where can we find that GoFundMe page?
You can find the GoFundMe page on the Mabo Day 2022 Dr. Koji Mabo project. But the GoFundMe is honouring the Koji's homeland. But yeah, links to that GoFundMe are on that Facebook page.
Beautiful, brother. Well, yeah, check it out, you mob out there listening. And Caleb, thanks for joining us from Mur Island. I'm down here on the Sunshine Coast. We've got you on speakerphone with two microphones hanging out. This is how we do it in black media. So just how important that we get the Mabo family on and talk about this beautiful day, brother. Happy Mabo Day to everybody out there. Let's hope it's a public holiday soon. And you've been listening to Let's Talk on Murray Country.